This is Community Matters on 92 Gold. If it matters to you, it's on Community Matters.
Thank you for joining me for the Community Matters program on 92 Gold and 104.3 Kinzu Country. And joining me today for our Community Matters program is Tom Perotti.
Well, thank you, Aaron. I am delighted to be here, and I am delighted with what's happening. It's just, I am busy. I don't think I have ever been busier, but I'm also feeling so great about what is happening around here. I mean, I retired fully, and so I am more in control of my schedule, and I just love being able to talk about the Ukrainian resettlement effort in Warren and all the tremendous number of volunteers that have stepped forward to make this a success. There sometimes are roadblock, and we have to step back to take one step back to two forward and things like that. But the momentum has definitely increased greatly. Well, when we first identified the family that we wanted to bring over, and this is following the very first family was sponsored by Father Tomasoni of St. Joe's, Ola and Vanya and Sasha. And then we identified a family probably in August or September, and it took us a while to go through the paperwork and all that sort of thing, and then there were some glitches in that. But finally, on November 6th, Andre, Christina, and Mark arrived at Buffalo Airport, and a volunteer, Bob Sears of Sears Luxury Transport, volunteered to drive to the Buffalo Airport to take me there to meet the family as they arrived. And that was an adventure because the plane was delayed for, I think, more than 3 hours, maybe 4 hours, coming from JFK. And there was lots of nervousness about whether they would be able to make the transition in flights after they go through customs and get their parole stamp on their passport and all that. But finally, at I think it was after 1 o'clock in the morning on the 6th, they actually entered the country on the 5th, but that was New York City. On the 6th, at 1 a.m. or so, they arrived at Buffalo, and Bob and we got into his vehicle, drove back to Warren, got here around 3:30, something like that. And of course, they were exhausted, traveling with a two-year-old, and and then I found out that Bob had to turn around and go back to Buffalo Airport at 10 o'clock that same morning to pick up somebody else. Now, that's a volunteer. And then we had another volunteer that stepped up for the mother of Christina, the same family, decided she wanted to come too. And so she arrived on the Wednesday before Christmas. And I think it was December 22nd. And that was a little complicated, too, because she didn't speak any English at all. She had never been on an airplane. She was afraid to fly. And then Andre, who is pretty efficient with using his smartphone, was able to find another Ukrainian woman flying from Madrid, which is where Yuba was flying from. And after church the Sunday before 22nd, he said to me, "This woman is willing to go with my mother-in-law, fly with her, get us a ticket, please, on that flight." And so I managed to get a ticket. And then how are we going to get her from JFK? And how are we going to, because the Ukrainian woman was going to stay in New York City, how are we going to prevent her from having to change terminals and get on a JetBlue flight and all that, which would be very confusing. Another volunteer, Andrea Janung, volunteered to drive to JFK and back in one day and taking Andre with her. And so they did. I mean, the volunteers, and those are just two volunteers of many, many, many who've helped out in so many ways, helping with taking them shopping, helping with transporting them every Tuesday and Thursday to the YMCA for the kind of children's gymnastics and just and to doctor's appointments and you name it. It's just been a thrill to see how people have stepped forward. We had a local attorney, Cynthia Klanowski, who volunteered to help with the I-765 form, which is required for employment authorization, pro bono. We had another local person, Julia Dietel, who is an interpreter, who was able to provide interpretation while Andre was filling out his application for employment authorization. And the interpreter and the attorney, they all have to certify that they've done their job, and they have to put their names on the line. So it's thrilling to see the way people have stepped forward.
Can you kind of talk us through the time period from when you identified the family to then finally bringing them over here? What all had to kind of go through and take place so that if people are thinking maybe they can do this as well, this is something where they have a good understanding as to the actual process of it?
Yeah, I'm happy to say some things about that, and we are getting better at it. The first time we tried it took much longer, and we made some mistakes that made it take longer than it should have. But and the first time, I think it was in September, about September 15th, that I filed the first I-134 forms, which is required. It's required that a sponsor, a person who volunteers to be a sponsor, and I did that. And that form is where you pledge to support the beneficiary or the person that's coming financially and otherwise for a period of 2 years. And you have to demonstrate your ability to do that. And that means you have to provide your tax return for the previous year. You have to provide a letter from your bank saying that in this whatever account, and you don't have to list all your accounts, but in a account, there was this much money received in a year, and this is the balance, and things like that. After that, and that could take a little while, depending upon whether there's any mistakes. You don't want there to be mistakes, because if there's mistakes, it's hard to change them, as we found out with the first group. But after that, I think we have the process down now so that that application process probably should be accomplished in, I would say, 6 weeks or less. After the 134 form is approved, the recipient, the beneficiary, receives an email from Homeland Security saying that, asking the beneficiary to verify who they are and fill out another form, and then if that information is all fine, then the USCIS, United States Customs and Immigration Service, sends them a letter that is a travel authorization letter, which means they are free then to have a ticket and fly to the United States. And that travel authorization letter gets them to customs, to the border security checkpoint, where they will present their documents and have their passport stamped as paroled, which means they are granted humanitarian parole, which is good for 2 years. And that's a time period in which they can decide, is this where we're going to be permanently, or do I want to go back to Ukraine?
When you are bringing people over that are coming over from Ukraine, and they do have that two-year period to sit there and think about it, then when they're coming over and kind of starting to integrate into this community, our goal here as a community should be to make it just as comfortable for them so that they might not even want to go back. Now, as bad as that is, that's the goal, right? I mean, we want to make them feel so welcome here that it feels just like home. Now, how are some ways that people are, kind of making efforts to really do that, because it really seems like that would be a little bit of a challenge, but the more people that are able to come over here, the easier that would be, it seems.
I think that's true. It becomes easier because we know more about what we're doing and filling out the forms and getting them here. But it also becomes easier, I think, because they can be greeted by other Ukrainians who've gone before them. And it has happened in so many, many little, what might seem like little ways, but wonderful ways that people have stepped forward to welcome them. And one of the things that we have to do as volunteers is we have to get them signed up right away for appropriate government programs like Medicaid so that their medical bills will be paid for, food stamps, and possibly some cash assistance to tie them over until they're able to work, which might be a couple months. Andre, the man who arrived with his family on November 6th in Warren, just 2 days ago on Monday, received his approval of his working permit, you might say. It's a card now, I guess. But that was January. That was 2 months.
That's something that I personally wouldn't even have thought about, coming over here and then having to get a working permit to be able to do that. Yeah. It's something that I guess, you know, I take such for granted that, you know, it's something that really would matter quite a bit to someone when they're stuck in and they're really unable to do anything like that. So really, it's amazing when you're able to kind of think proactively like that, because the more that you're able to bring over, the more experience you have and the more smoothly the transition goes with that. Now, with that being said, what I kind of wanted to learn about in relation to that is, I understand you've got an event that's going to be coming up that's going to be near the end of this month, and I'm kind of curious to be able to learn the details on what that's all going to involve.
Sure. Well, let me emphasize that the community has been extremely welcoming. Whenever people are introduced to them, they say welcome. They try to offer whatever they can, and all that's good. But a lot of people haven't met any of the seven that are here right now, and it's possible the eighth could be here by the end of the month. And so we wanted to give an opportunity for the community to stop in at an open house. I mean, it's not come and sit for 2 hours listening to people talk. It'll be a casual thing at St. Joseph's Roman Catholic Church, Meyer Hall, on Sunday, January 29th, from 2 to 4 in the afternoon. And we hope to have all of our new friends from Ukraine there. And you'll be able to have a coffee and a cookie or something and meet them and greet them and say welcome. There's not a lot of small things that they need. I mean, they pretty much have the basics covered. A big thing that is needed right now is a vehicle. If Andre's going to work, well, you can't even really live very well in northwestern Pennsylvania without a car. So we're working on that. We're working on that, and I'm relatively encouraged that we're going to solve that problem. But if anyone would like to help with that through making a financial donation to the Refugee Resettlement Fund at First Lutheran Church, that would be deeply appreciated. And just on your check, write in the memo line, Refugee Resettlement Fund, and that would be much, much, much appreciated. There's also going to be other big needs that we don't have right now, but soon, and that is that soon we will need housing, more housing. We have, and great thanks to Lincoln Sikolsky and Worley Industries, who donated the use of two apartments, including utilities, furnished for a year. But the year is up in May for the first apartment, and the year is up in November for the second apartment. So we're going to need other houses, and that's going to be and utility expense and all that. So we need to try to establish a fund that will be sustainable. And now, of course, Andre's going to have a job, hopefully within a few weeks, and we'll be able to pay more and more of his expenses. And Ola has had a job, and she got it right away, thanks to Hank Lemur at Superior Tire. So we're anticipating that the community will continue to be generous and open up opportunities, and we're just very happy to fill them in whatever way we can. And we know there are several other people I shouldn't say several, I mean there's lots that would like to come here. And we can't handle everybody, but we certainly want to do what we can within our means to help people find a new home in a beautiful community that we have here in Warren. It's just a thrill.
I'm really, really thankful that this is something that you guys have allowed to happen in this community, and I'm thankful that Warren is the community where these people are coming to be able to settle and spend some time here. If they choose to settle, they settle. If they choose to move on from there, that's perfectly fine as well. But, you know, if they do choose to settle here, that would be very exciting also, and I just think that it's a really good opportunity for these people to, in the situation that, you know, with the cards that are dealt, I think that Warren is a very beautiful community. And, you know, I know that the people that live in Warren do make an effort to try to be as open and inclusive and welcome to everyone as possible. So I'm hopeful and thankful that these things that are happening right now are only going to continue to grow for these people. And I hope that we're going to be able to grow a bigger community.
I'm sure we will. And I look forward to that. And I'm certain there's going to be some challenges, but my goodness, it's certainly something we don't want to shy away from, because the need is so striking. One of the key people that has helped us through identifying the people that, with the exception of Father Tomasoni's, who came earlier in May, the family that came afterwards that I sponsored personally, they've all been, and the next one that's in the pipeline, have been identified by Joni Smitley, who is a nurse who has worked in Ukraine for many, many months, made more than one trip over there, you know, wearing the helmet and the flak jacket and in the bomb shelters, caring for wounded soldiers. And she has been able to identify specific people who wanted to come to the United States. And so those are the ones that that we have been able to bring over since November. Wow. And she has a list, and she has lots and lots of things to be able to tell. And she'll be there, I'm sure, on the 29th, and you'll have an opportunity to meet her, too. She's just a treasure to have on our team.
So it's going to be on the 29th, and it's going to be from 2 to 4 p.m., and the location, one more time, is?
St. Joseph's Church, Meyer Hall.
Meyer Hall. Okay, perfect. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me. I really, really appreciate it, Tom, and really look forward to being able to see these people and, you know, see what I can do to help with this, because it really is amazing seeing these people come to our community and being the situation that we're in. I'm thankful that we're able to help, and I would like to help as much as I can. So
it's a great pleasure to be here, and I welcome anyone to call me if they would like more information about being a sponsor, or if they have an idea of a particular gift they would like to give. You know, please. In fact, I should say this. I've been encouraging people to give to purchase a car for Andre, and I received a phone call a few days ago from someone who said, you know, I think my wife and I would like to make a gift. Not for a car, maybe for an English as second language program. And so, well, of course. And so we received a nice check from that couple who would like to remain anonymous, and we respect that. But it's enabling us to get started, hopefully. We still need more funds for an English as second language program. Actually, about $750 a month. But
that's a good start, you know. Though. I mean, hey, yep. Any funds is a good start to
you
it.
You bet. We've got it started, and it's gonna be great. So thank you, Aaron, very much for the opportunity to speak about this.
America, the most powerful nation on earth. The power to make decisions affecting your life begins here in Washington.
But how do you know if the people here, the people you elected, are really representing you? I'm Rachel Knapp, and that's our mission here in Washington. We know there's a lot of places you can get coverage from our nation's capital, but there's only one place where you can see what your local lawmakers are doing.
Washington Bureau Reports with Rachel Knapp. Coverage you can count on. Only on Erie News Now. Community Matters on 92 Gold.
Yeah, no, hey, thanks for having me. You know, the biggest thing, I didn't grow up on, you know, the wealthiest side by any means at all. So I've always kind of had a dream to give back to the youth of Warren County, kind of myself, that go couch to couch from relative to relative. And I mean, looking back, you didn't notice anything at that time. And but looking back, you kind of realize, man, there's a lot of opportunity that I could have had, but I didn't always see it, right?
Mm,
so as I got older, and I finally am at a good spot where my wife and I were like, hey, how can we give back to a town that gave us so much? That's where we're at. And so one of the biggest things, I had this dream of starting a foster home, a children's home. What I wanted was like a good, safe place for a kid that might be, you know, having trouble at home, or, you know, just had to get away and have a place that they could, so to say, run away to, but knowing that they would be safe. You know, they're not just going to a tent. They're not going just anywhere, you know, out in Warren County. And we're running away even further than that, right? So that was kind of my goal at first. I met with some great leadership around the county and even some at the state level, and they were like, hey, a foster home is going to be pretty tough, right? They're really trying to push, you know, sibling, staying with the kinfolk, which is great. Absolutely. And so we had to pivot. And so in the meantime, I took my vision board and kind of had to pivot and go, how do we build something similar, but how do we truly affect what's going on in the community or the needs of the community? So I say our 5 to 7 year goal is we're trying to build fostering homes where we can keep kids with their family. But also, let's say, you know, I always use this example of there's a grandma and grandpa that take in their grandkids. And unfortunately, their house just isn't big enough, or, you know, they don't have the means to take on more. And, you know, unfortunately, two more kids now in their family are going to be placed into foster care. Well, how do I facilitate a house big enough for them to be able to reunite everyone? And then also, hey, if you're able and willing, you want to take on even more, you know, hey, we'll build you a 7-bedroom house. And so that's our big, big pipe dream. There's an organization out of Oklahoma City that I've been so blessed and fortunate to fly down and meet their founder and really get to talk to him about his organization called Anna's House. I mean, if you ever have time, look it up. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal story. And we want to mirror something similar to that up here in Warren. There's no reason we can't. And so we will at some point, you know, be able to offer this up to the community. So
as that is like your big, huge goal there, you definitely have to start, you know, making steps to make that achievable there. And I think one of the things that is kind of like a big effort that you have to do when you start looking at that is fundraising, you know, because, you know, to be able to do a lot of these things, funds are very important for getting all that stuff secured, and fundraising is a pretty big aspect of it. And when you have fundraising for something like this, you can make it a consistent annual event that you can start to consistently count on for, you know, helping out what your goals are with that. Now, with that being said, how did you get started in the line of thinking in that way of, like, how are you going to support this?
Yeah, so I have a phenomenal mentor out of Dallas, Texas, and we'll go by LW. So LW, when I told him, you know, my dream, and I said, man, when I retire, I'm going to go home and I'm going to start up this foundation and I'm going to, you know, really help the community out. He goes, Jeremy, I know you. You're not going to retire. Go home tomorrow when you fly back from Texas here and get started. And it inspired me to come back and truly fire things up. We filed for articles of incorporation the next day, my wife and I. And it's crazy. 3 months later, I'm landing in Dallas, Texas to go out to LW's ranch and do a charity shootout there. And I get the email that says, hey, congratulations, the Snell Family Foundation, Inc. is actually an actual program or incorporation. So, you know, I went to him and kind of told him just to say thank you for inspiring me. And he instantly committed to, you know, $50,000 on the spot that he wanted to help us get up and going. And the guy, you know, without saying too much, he's a phenomenal, phenomenal person. And you know, I truly believe, yeah, we're going to do fundraising. We're going to have to lean on the community at some point. But anyone that knows me knows that, one, I'm not going to ask you for money until we need it. Two, when we get that money, we're going to put it to use. So we are doing some fundraising, and what we're doing is the funds that we are raising. We have an event coming up that I'd love to talk to you about. But yeah, we're fundraising right now for other nonprofits because we want to help raise up the community as a whole and not just ours. We want to work with others. We want to find as many synergies already existing in the community and then work with them to you know, raise up the community together. So
now when you're starting to work with other groups in this area to try to improve the community like that, when you're trying to come up with a way to do fundraising but also include those other groups, what are some of the ways that, you know, like when you brainstorm, what are some of the immediate ideas that come up on the top of your head? Like, you know, oh, we should do this or that, you know, but yeah, obviously, you can't do everything.
Yeah, so one, I have a phenomenal board at the foundation, and you know, my wife is obviously on there, and God bless her, because she listens to all these ideas that literally in the middle of the night, I'll just wake up from a dream and have an idea, and I roll over and push on her and say, hey, I just had this idea. I think we need to implement it. And she, of course, hits me and tells me to go back to bed. But it's really one of those things, like, we're not trying to reinvent the wheel. Once again, someone, especially in our county, you know, we've had so many generations of great, you know, philanthropy that has gone on. We don't want to reinvent the wheel, but we just want to add some spice to it, right? So we're seeing what other people did that worked, and then how do we add on to it? And really, you know, what? How do we grab a hold of people's inspiration and then run alongside them and say, let's grow this thing out together? So, you know, if I can, you know, go back to the Kin Fund, we partnered with the Kin Fund on Thanksgiving. And I want to say, I think we delivered 52 meals on Thanksgiving morning for that to underprivileged families and people just maybe running on hard times, right? We just wanted to help. And Dr. Patty Mead was phenomenal in being like, hey, yeah, we would love some help. She, you know, she's a great person as it is, but she just kind of said, hey, here's how you can help. And we got a couple drivers and we went to the community here and did a Facebook post and said, hey, if you want to help, we're raising funds for this. And we had people writing checks from all over the country. We had Peace, Love, and Wellness did some like yoga classes, and they donated all the proceeds that week to the fund. I mean, it's just, once again, phenomenal, phenomenal community we have here.
When you look at the United Fund of Warren County, they did Restaurant Week, and that was something where it was like a month of different restaurants that they did, and it was Restaurant Week every week. But, you know, that's something where you work with other local businesses in the community, everyone does something to benefit. And then everyone gets a lot more business out of it because people in the community want to go support.
Absolutely. And so that's one of the things that we're getting ready to do here. So the Snell Family Foundation, you know, I went on Facebook and Instagram and said, hey, do we still have any of these young professional groups or professionals in energy or any professional group out there? And there are, don't get me wrong, there's some great ones out there, but I want an all-inclusive. I've said this before, you know, I want the suits downtown, but I want the guys in the woods cutting trees down and pumping oil. And I want all these guys together because I truly believe there's many people in this community that are one positive person away from blowing out a $1 million idea that could help pick up once again our entire community. And so, yeah, I love what the United Way did there. I love what you know, the Community Foundation does every year with Warren Gives. They're a powerhouse. I mean, we could list all the foundations in Warren that just have held up this county. And I truly sit here and go, there has to be a point where, not even to say pass the torch, but how do we help carry that torch with these other organizations? And that's what we're open to doing and hoping to do, is really work together to continue to get Warren back to where we think it can be, for sure.
People from the general public that don't really know much about it want to, you know, take the time to learn more about the Snell Family Foundation. Is there a place that people can go and look any of that stuff up online, look at, like, a board of directors or anything?
So right now, our Facebook page and Instagram page are our biggest social media traffics. We are actually partnering with the Career Center. We're going to get, by the sounds of it, a young gentleman in from the marketing side that's going to help us build out a website. And once again, there's an opportunity to build up, you know, from the ground up of our youth here. And one other thing, you know, I'd love to throw out there is in the next 12 to 18 months, we are going to build a resource center at our shop up at 625 South State Street, to where we are going to be able to take in donations from, you know, individuals, but also companies. To my dream is, and I, you know, don't hold me to this, is to be able to open a storefront at our shop where youth 0 to 18 that, you know, need help, we're going to be able to open up a storefront and let them come in and shop for free, whether it's clothes or school supplies, whatever donations we might be able to get and offer back. We want to do that. So, I mean, again, we're in research and development, so I'm very close to getting out and trying to really tackle funding, but I don't want to do that until I have designs in my hands. So, you know, we have a plan in place because I want to be the guy that truly puts my money where the mouth is and just make it happen. So be on the lookout for a new building standing up, another new building at our facility there in North Warren. We're blessed, my wife and I both, to have full-time jobs outside of Snell Real Estate, Landscape Foundation, all the stuff that truly give us the opportunity to build out and just continue to reinvest in the community. together at Warren County. It's called the Snell Family Foundation Presents Warren County Professionals Give Back Event Series. So starting March 9th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Conowongo Club, we are going to put together an event every single quarter where what we want to do is get – this first one's capped at 200 people. We want to get 200 like-minded people from Warren County, not just the city of Warren, not just Sheffield. I'm going to every town trying to find people to come to this event to voice, hey, how can we bring more business into town? How can we clean up certain parts of the town that might need cleaned up? It's truly going to be a great sounding board and networking event. But while we do that, what I alluded to earlier is we're also going to have a local nonprofit there, not the Snell Family Foundation, of which we're going to be able to put that foundation or nonprofit in front of 200 local professionals to say, hey, tell us what your mission is. And you might have just found, 100 more donation streams of income to really push your goal. And so eventually we will. My wife has this great idea that we're going to host a gala by the end of the year. So stay tuned there. We'll keep the proceeds there. But right now, every quarter, we're planning on letting the event sponsor choose who is going to be that local nonprofit we give money to. And wow, we just found out yesterday Northwest is going to be our first event sponsor. I mean, obviously, a phenomenal business here. But they kicked it back to us and said, hey, this is your first event, and you guys get to choose who it's going to. And we're getting ready real soon to announce who that local nonprofit's going to be. So,
well, that's going to be very, very amazing to hear about there. And the event sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun, and it's really going to be a great opportunity for people that are in the Warren area and Warren County in general that want to see it grow and succeed and have some ideas that, they think might be a great idea to get out there. And really, I think that that's something that we can all look forward to. Now, what I wanted to mention is if people want to get all the details on this event, they can check that out on your Facebook page then?
Yep, on the Facebook page, it's listed there. We have some flyers around town. Right now, we're selling tickets at the Arbor House down here in downtown Warren, and also our shop. I hate to say it, we're in our first week, we've sold 160 of the 200 tickets. I mean, people are truly believing in what we're trying to do here. So we have about 40 tickets left. So if you haven't got a ticket, get to one of these places or get a hold of us on Facebook, because if you want to be there, we want you there.
Thank you for listening to Community Matters. If you have any questions, inquiries, or suggestions, feel free to reach out at warrenradio.com and click contact.